I have an integrated approach to weekends that draws upon established best practices and incorporates actionable insights that I purposely ignore. Again, I have an integrated approach to weekends that draws upon established best practices, incorporates actionable insights that I purposely ignore. A friend of mine posted this on Facebook several years ago, and I knew that I could use it in a sermon someday. And last week, I actually sent this to the board in another context and realized I could use this next week. Yeah. Anyway, if we replace the word weekends with my Unitarian Universalist faith, we'd be left with the following. I have an integrated approach to my Unitarian Universalist faith that draws upon established best practices, incorporates actionable insights that I purposely ignore. Yeah. This is actually one of the more popular critiques that people have of Unitarian Universalists and Unitarian Universalism in general. And the critique is that despite having a rich historical tradition and faith, well, we kind of purposely ignore that at the end of the day. Now, I'm not saying this is a valid criticism. People have standard tropes, standard criticisms of all kinds of things. Consider our politics. You know, you probably heard all Republicans want to do is cut taxes and enrich the 1%. Or all Democrats, they just simply want to raise taxes and give away unwarranted entitlements. Or libertarians, we want everything, but we don't want to pay for it. You know? These are critiques that you hear, and they may be invalid, and they're oversimplified, but let's think about us. Are we merely spiritual tinkerers, a mile wide and an inch deep? We don't have any set creed that we tell you to believe. Do we believe whatever feels good? Do we change our religious philosophy like we change our clothes? Do we believe in whatever we want? Reverend Christine Robinson actually believes there might be some validity to this critique when she says, with tongue firmly in cheek, Unitarian Universalists are free to believe in whatever we want to, and most of us don't. Yeah. And to borrow a quote from Arthur McGon McLaughlin that might apply to Unitarian Universalists, she writes, I've been hiding from God, and I'm appalled to find out how easy it is. Yeah. So what might be our integrated approach to our faith? For me, I think my integrating approach is from our first source, that Jennifer mentioned earlier today, direct experience. The first source of our living tradition of Unitarian Universalism is direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to the renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. Direct experience. To me, that's my integrating approach. What I believe in my faith has to be reconciled with how I experience this thing called my life. What might be our best practices? I think of our remaining sources, our five remaining sources, again, that Jennifer mentioned today. Might be our best practices. We bring reason to religious thought, the words and deeds of prophetic people, the wisdom of the world's religions, Jewish and Christian teachings, humanist teachings, and earth-centered traditions. The intellectual rigor that we bring to matters of faith. These might be our best practices. Now, how about our actionable insights? I believe our Unitarian Universalist principles, not on the back of our order of service this Sunday, Jennifer, because I switched it up and put our sources there instead, But anyway, I believe that our actionable insights might be our Unitarian Universalist principles, because they compel us to act, to work for justice, to actively accept one another, to pursue a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, to celebrate the inherent worth and dignity of every person, and respect the interdependent web of all existence. So few could argue that we don't have an integrated approach, best practices, or even actionable insights. But the question is, what do we do with this? Do we purposely ignore what these give us? Do we let everything slide down the slippery slope into religious nihilism? Ultimately, you'll be the judge of how Unitarian Universalists feed your own life. Looking at our faith, Unitarian Universalism, from another angle, however, and comparing that to maybe other denominations and other religious traditions, consider the responsibility that we have as Unitarian Universalists. I mean, we aren't told what to believe. We aren't told what's right belief and what's heresy. We aren't told what's good or bad. We aren't told what's sacred or holy or what is worthy of reverence and what is not. So when people casually critique Unitarian Universalism and say, being a UU is easy, you can just believe whatever you want, I say, no, no, no. Mm-mm. I don't necessarily believe what I want to believe. I believe what I have to believe. I believe what I have to believe based upon my experience, limited as it might be, for my eyes see but little ways, as Theodore Parker says. I believe what I have to based upon the reason that I can bring to bear on the matters at hand. I believe what I have to based upon what I can learn from the experiences of others as best I can. And yes, I believe what I have to sometimes when I come upon difficult to explain things, things that can't be explained by reason, but somehow I can just intuit inside. That's allowed in as well. Being a UU is quite a responsibility. I was going to say being a UU is a huge responsibility, but then I would sound like our president, because he always says that word. It's huge. Unitarian Universalists are amazing. There's just some amazing people over there. He always says those kinds of words, so I find myself self-conscious if I use them. Anyway, but think about it. What is easier? What is easier? Believing what you're told to believe by the church fathers? Or being the captain of your own ship, squaring your own religious ideas and beliefs with the experience of your being? It's easier. Being a devout UU is hard work. It involves critical inquiry into what you believe. You can't be lazy and be a devout Unitarian Universalist. I may have told this story before, but I first became a Unitarian Universalist in college during my sophomore year in a speech class that I took. I didn't know what Unitarian Universalism was, didn't know it existed, but it's when I became a Unitarian Universalist in spirit. I went to Villanova University, which is a Catholic university outside Philadelphia, and this speech class was taught by a former nun, actually. And one of the speeches that I had to give was a speech that declared a personal statement about who you are, who I was actually at the time. And I can remember almost everything about this speech. And it started something like this. As of today, as of this very moment, I no longer consider myself to be a Catholic. I consider myself to be a member of a religion that has only one member, me. Yeah, religious faith is something too important to be born into. It's something that one must discover for oneself. It's not easy to do this. But it can be no other way. It is what I must do. So it was the beginning of my own little personal manifesto of religious freedom. Emerson would have loved it. It was also freshly naive, because my religious feelings, my religious philosophy, my beliefs, they've evolved over time. Among other things, and we did not plan this, I've widened my circle. We did not plan that. And you said something to that effect as well, about your circle widening. Anyway, but I've widened my circle since that time. For me, my religion and spirituality is not a solo act. It's communal, as you said. You did say that, that what you got out of it was, you know, the people that you met there. And I'm not just talking about social community. It's part of my spiritual and religious sentiment for it to be communal. It's not a solo act. So even though we might and probably do believe different things, we can be of one faith community. So a few weeks ago, I said in a sermon, quote, "An ever-increasing number of people see participation in our culture as isolated individuals having individual needs rather than an integral member of a cohesive community pursuant of the common good." I said that a few weeks ago. That's an idea, one among many, of a researcher, John Roberto, that he published in a book called Faith Formation 2020. And that book seeks to address, actually stem this tide of isolated individualism and a trend toward religious nihilism in this country through the development of faith formation. I like to think of it as faith evolution or evolving faith. Remember, we have a living tradition as Unitarian Universalists. We draw upon our faith not from stuff that's in the past, isolated in a book, but it's continuously evolving today and tomorrow. So the question is, what might you be doing to evolve your faith? And what might we be doing together as a community to develop our communal faith? This year, actually today, we're embarking on a courageous adult enrichment program. Eventually, I'd like it to be an audacious adult enrichment program. Almost every Sunday this year, during the church year from 12 to 1, we are going to have an adult enrichment class. Today, for 4 weeks, I'm going to teach a class on called the Epic of Unitarianism, a Unitarian history class. Then after that, 4 weeks after that, our friends from Roswell Community Masjid will be coming here to teach a class on an introduction to Islam. Very excited about that. And then after that, Dwana Bush, she's here, and Donna Melcher, Dwana Bush and Donna Melcher will be teaching a class called Life's Excellent Adventure, Naming and Claiming Your Whole Person Health. And you know how exciting that will be if you know Dwana. So, and there'll be more to follow in the spring. But also, these are just classes. What other avenues can we use to explore, to evolve our faith? In seminary, they told us time and time again, you can't change people's minds. You can't. You can try to change their hearts, which will then change their minds. And you can't change people's hearts by just talking to them in a sermon, even. You have to give people an experience first. People's hearts are changed through heartfelt experiences. Heartfelt experiences are the seeds of change. They're the seeds of faith formation. I firmly believe that. For example, we just got done our week with our Family Promise guests who stayed next door in Discovery Hall for a week. I believe that is a week potential heartfelt experiences. It's also a week of chaos. Yeah? It's inconvenient and it's crazy and wacky. It's all of that. It is definitely all of that. But also, our Family Promise Week, we are changing hearts little by little, week by week. It is faith formation in progress. So if you've been missing our Family Promise work, you're kind of missing out. Am I right, Mary Beth? Can I get an amen? Or not? Some people joke that Unitarian Universalists, as our symbol, instead of the flaming chalice, it should be a giant question mark. Yeah. And I get that. I kind of get that. Because to form your faith, to form our faith communally, we really don't provide answers here, only questions. We don't sell fruits here, only seeds. May we now enter into the spirit of prayer. Beloved Spirit, our faith is a freely chosen faith. Our faith is a growing, evolving, living faith, a living tradition. A faith of different beliefs, yet of one community. One that leaves no one behind. May our faith compel us to grow, to plant, to nurture, to water, to cultivate, and harvest fruits from the seeds. Let us now enter in a moment of shared silence.